Well, hello everybody and welcome to Live with Lon. Today, we're going to study the Word of God, and we're back in Matthew chapter 23, where we are looking at Jesus's condemning diatribe against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, the rabbis of his day. So before we dig back in, though, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And thank you for how it explains to us, Lord, what's really going on in the world, in the universe. Do that with your word today. Instruct us, teach us, educate us as to you and your ways and the truths on which you operate. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word of God to fortify our hearts and lives today so that we might live more effectively for you here on this earth until we meet you in heaven. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. We're studying the Bible. The whole Bible. Oh, I caught you before you're ready. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. And we are going through the Gospels. Right now we're in the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And we're in Matthew chapter 23. And this chapter is a very unusual chapter in the Gospels, because as I mentioned last week, we're used to seeing Jesus in the Gospels as being kind, long-suffering, patient, merciful, gentle, sweet, turn the other cheek. And he is all those things. God is. Oh, but God is also, as we said last week, holy and righteous, a God of judgment, and a God who holds people accountable for their behavior and will hold people eternally accountable for their behavior. And so it's this side of God that we see more of in Matthew chapter 23, because Jesus has been sideswiping the rabbis and the Jewish leaders up to this point. But now he turns in full force. As I said last week, he takes off the gloves and he goes right at them. He's sick and tired of playing footsie with them. And now he calls them out in public for their sins and condemns their sins in public. So, last week, we read the first 11 verses of the chapter, and I told you last week the sins of the rabbis, part one, was arrogance. This week, the sins of the rabbis, part two, is that they were spiritual Pied Pipers. They were spiritual Pied Pipers, and I'll explain that in a minute. Now, when I say he called them out in public, look at verse 1 of chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying. So this condemnation and diatribe against the religious leaders of Israel was not done just privately with them. No, no, it was done for everybody to hear. Now, we got a little feedback regarding the use of the word rabbis from last week, the sins of the rabbis, where I think some people were concerned that maybe Jewish leaders today, Jewish rabbis today, would assume that by using the word rabbi, I'm talking about them. My friends, I might be. It depends. If the shoe fits, then you got to wear it. And I don't know every rabbi in existence today, but are there some? For sure. who qualify for all of these sins that Jesus is condemning the rabbis of his day for? Yes, I'm sure there are. So all I can say is, rabbi of today, if the shoe fits, that's all I can say. But I'm not using the word rabbi anachronistically, because in the Bible, as we saw right in these verses in Matthew 23, for example, right in verse 7, Jesus said they love the greetings in the marketplaces and to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. So we're not using the word anachronistically. There were rabbis in Jesus' day, and so I'm using the word correctly. Now, moving on past that, let's look at the sins of the rabbis, both then and maybe some now. Part two. Being spiritual Pied Pipers. What does that mean? Well, look with me at verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of God against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are desiring to enter, who would enter, to go in. The emphasis here at the end of the verse is that there are people who are willing to go in and maybe would go in if they were properly led and instructed by these spiritual leaders of the Jewish community back then. Hypocrites, Jesus calls them, which is a word he's going to use a number of times in this chapter. A hypocrite, a Greek word, the word hypocrite, literally means to wear a mask, as in a play. If you've ever seen a Greek play, often the players will put a mask up when delivering their lines, and maybe even a second mask when they change to another character. It means basically to wear a mask. To not be legitimately who you look to be, the person that people think you are when they look at you. So, this is what Jesus calls these guys. And he says, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You keep men from entering the kingdom of heaven. Now, how do they do that? Well, look, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are willing to enter or would enter, perhaps if given the chance, to go in. First, Jesus says, you guys don't go in yourselves. Why not? Because they refuse to humble themselves before God, and they refuse to admit their need as sinners, and they refuse, therefore, to embrace Christ and what he did on the cross for them, the Messiah. They didn't think they needed to have their sins forgiven, because they didn't think they had any sins to be forgiven. They were certainly not men who walked around like the tax collector from last week, beating on his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is not how they saw themselves. They definitely did not consider themselves to be debauched, dirty, sinful people on the inside. But we all are in the sight of a holy God. Yes. But they would not accept that about themselves. And therefore, they didn't accept Christ as their Savior because, frankly, they didn't think they needed a Savior. Now, many people are like that still today. Not just Jewish people. Although Jewish people are certainly, in my mind, well known for having this approach to themselves. I mean, I grew up Jewish. I lived in a Jewish community. I rubbed shoulders with nothing but Jewish people for the most part for the first 18 years of my life. And growing up among Jewish people, I saw the kind of arrogance that Jesus was speaking about last week. All the time. And the kind of humility that brings us to the cross. I didn't see much of that. I certainly didn't have it in my life growing up. I was arrogant, but I got it honestly. So were my parents. So were their parents, and on and on. Now, are there other people in the world that are arrogant besides Jewish people? Of course there are. Are you kidding? Almost everyone in the world who doesn't come to Christ doesn't come because of this same kind of arrogance. That they don't believe they need any Savior because they don't understand the seriousness of their sin and the seriousness of what trouble they're in the sight of a holy God. And how much they're perching on the precipice and need saving because of arrogance. So, this is not just a Jewish problem or a Gentile problem. It's a human problem. However, the rabbis in Jesus' day had a particular problem with this, as you saw last week. And therefore, because they wouldn't come to Christ, confess their sins, humble themselves and accept salvation through faith in Him and none of their own works, because they wouldn't do that, then the Bible says, "For you neither go in yourselves to the kingdom of heaven." You're not getting in without faith in Christ. That's clear from the Bible. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, you don't come to Christ, you don't get into the kingdom of heaven yourself. But to make it worse, look what Jesus says. He says, "Nor do you allow those who are entering, who would want to enter and maybe come to Christ, nor would you allow them to go in." Some translations translate this, "Nor do you allow those who desire to go in, to go in, or who would go in, to go in." Now, how do they do this? Well, they do it by talking people out of believing in Jesus. It's just that simple. They are the birds in Jesus' parable, Matthew 13. Look at this. "And the sower sowed some seed that fell by the wayside, fell on hard ground, and the birds came and devoured the seeds, ate the seeds up so they couldn't sprout." This is what these rabbis would do. They were hearing the words of Jesus, the crowds were. They were exposed to Jesus, the crowds were, but the rabbis were working hard to convince the Jewish people of that day not to believe in Jesus, not to trust Him, not to accept Him as their Messiah, but rather to have Him crucified. They were actively working to keep people from believing in Jesus. And as a result, many people, the Bible says, here in this chapter, right here in this verse, who maybe would have come to Christ, who maybe were on the verge of coming to Christ, didn't, because the rabbis were putting pressure on them not to. I'm in John chapter 7, verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him, Jesus?" They were sent to arrest Jesus. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you too deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Now, Nicodemus, verse 50, that is he who came to Jesus by night. Remember John chapter 3, you must be born again. Being one of them, one of the high council, one of the Sanhedrin, said to the rest of these rabbis, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" And they answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee?" That was a huge insult. "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet arises out of Galilee." What were they trying to do with Nicodemus? They were trying to talk him out of believing in Jesus. Although it looks like by the end of the book of John that Nicodemus did believe, and in the end of the book of Acts. What were they doing with these soldiers? "No man talks like this man talks." Well, instead of saying, "You know, you're right, this man is probably from God," they go, "No, have any of us believed in him?" They try to talk the guards out of believing in him. How about this? John chapter 9. Look at this. This is the man who was born blind from birth. And after he's healed, the rabbis call him in. He gives his testimony. Then they call his parents in. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning the man that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." Now, why didn't his parents just speak up and say, "Yes, isn't it wonderful? The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, healed him." No, watch. Verse 22, his parents spoke these words because they feared the Jews. For the Jewish leaders, look at this, had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he, Jesus, was the Messiah, that person would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." My friends, don't you ever believe that the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day were neutral about other people in Israel believing in Jesus. They were not. They were doing everything in their power to pressure people and convince people and talk people out of believing in Jesus, even to throwing them out of the synagogue, which means they cut off their relationships, their friendships, their community connections, their livelihood for someone who got thrown out. That was an enormous penalty that they were threatening people with if they believed in Jesus. Do you understand me? They were actively working against people believing in Jesus. Now, lots of people in our world still do that. Of all stripes. But certainly, in the Jewish community of this day, this is rampant. And I think it has been for 2,000 years. Although I wasn't alive during all those years. But if you believed in Jesus, you were dead to your family as far as the Orthodox Jewish communities of all those years were concerned. But today, it's still going on. For example, a few years ago when we did a campaign, Jews for Jesus did a campaign here in Washington, D.C., where we go out on the street and we hand out tracts to Jews and Gentiles alike and try to engage them in conversation, especially Jewish people, but Gentile people too, and lead them to Christ. The rabbis here in town, a Jewish man on the street told me this, that his rabbi had given the homily, the sermon, the week before we started with our campaign, which lasted 3 or 4 weeks, that he had given a sermon and told all the Jewish people in the synagogue there that this was coming and that they were instructed. This was his request. Not even to talk to us. Not even to take our literature. But just to say, I don't want any. I'm good. Nope. 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 Not interested. Nope. 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 And so that he had said to us, I'm not interested. And I had started probing with him a little bit. Why wouldn't you be interested? It's not going to hurt you. It's just a little tiny booklet. And that's how we got into this, and he told me what his rabbi said. Now, you mean to tell me that in that synagogue and in the other synagogues where other rabbis were telling their parishioners the same thing, you mean to tell me that in all of those synagogues, among all of those people, there wasn't one Jewish person who, if given the chance to really hear the truth about Jesus being the Messiah and how he proved he was the Messiah by fulfilling all the messianic prophecies and by rising from the dead and by all the miracles that he did, that there wasn't one Jewish person in greater Washington who might have been interested in giving his heart to Christ or her heart to Christ. Not one. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I think there might have been. But because their rabbi asked them not even to discuss it, not even to talk about it, not even to take the literature, they, most likely, I would think, in obeisance to their rabbi, probably just said no, not interested. Isn't it exactly what Jesus said? Isn't this exactly, nor do you allow those who might be interested in entering to do so? It's exactly what it is. In Israel today, it's against the law to proselytize and share the gospel with Israelis. Now, there are still organizations over there who do it, but they're not supposed to, and if they get caught, they'll get in trouble. And there's an organization over there led by a woman who used to be a evangelical Christian, was raised an evangelical Christian. She converted to Judaism, and now she leads this organization whose sole goal is to figure out where and how people are trying to share Christ with people in Israel, and then to do everything they can, this organization, to frustrate those attempts and to out those people and to talk Jewish people out of listening to the gospel and out of believing it. This is their stated goal. This is their mission statement. And there are other organizations over there that are just doing what she's doing. That's what the Bible's talking about here. And this is why Jesus said to these rabbis, last 2 weeks ago, we saw it in Luke chapter 20, verse 47, these Jewish leaders will receive the greater condemnation. And we talked about levels of hell. And Jesus said, these Jewish rabbis who actually tried to talk people out of believing in Christ, it's bad enough they didn't want to believe. But then other Jewish people who might have wanted to believe and get saved, they tried to talk them deliberately out of believing. They shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to ask our most important question now. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. Or as Jackie would say, where's my buddy Jackie? Where'd he go? Come here, Jackie. Here you are, buddy. How sweet it is to know Christ. Well, bottom line here, my friends, is that it is a very dangerous thing to be a Pied Piper. You know the story of the Pied Piper. The Pied Piper in a city called Hameln, Germany, came to town, had rats throughout the town, and the people of the town made a deal to pay him if he would take the rats and get rid of them out of town. So he played his flute, and they all followed him out of town, and he drowned into the river and drowned them. Except, I think, for two that he left alive, or one, to tell the tale. Well, then he expected payment, and they welched on him. They didn't give it to him. And so he then led the children away from all the parents in town by playing his flute, and they were all mesmerized and bedazzled, and they followed him like the rats had into the side of a mountain. The door closed, and the children disappeared forever. And the moral of the story is, don't get greedy, keep your bargains. However, the Pied Piper is not considered by most to be a good character, to be a wholesome character. He's a bad person for doing this to these children. And as a result, the children were gone from their parents. Their parents lost them forever. When you try to lead people through your intellectual with your intellectual flute away from believing in Jesus, deliberately and on purpose, doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Muslim, no matter what you are, you're going to the bottom levels of hell. That's just the way it is. You know, in Egypt, if a Muslim comes to Christ in Egypt, a friend of mine there told me that the Christians take up a collection for this person so that they can get him out of the country or get her out of the country. Because if they stay in the country, they will be killed. Now, you talk about pressure not to believe in Jesus. My goodness, that comes from the leaders of the Muslim community. Can you imagine living in Iran and converting to Christ with that group of leaders there? Hey, listen, there are a lot of Catholic priests who are going to qualify for greater condemnation. They have people sitting right there in their churches with incredible opportunities to preach the gospel and bring people to trust in Christ. And they don't do it. Instead, they make a point not to teach them about Jesus plus nothing for salvation, but that they need the church, and they need the sacraments, and they need the priests, and they need all this other stuff. What are they doing? Well, they're shutting up people who might want to go into heaven from going there. And college professors who talk young students out of believing the Bible and out of believing Christ and ruin their faith if they had it when they went to college, or try to talk them out of ever having faith in Christ with their pseudo-intellectual nonsense. Greater condemnation. This is a dangerous thing to be a Pied Piper and deliberately lead people away from Christ, away from salvation, away from the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus is saying here, that you rabbis, not only are you arrogant, but you are spiritual Pied Pipers, trying to lead people deliberately away from believing in me. Dangerous and sad, the future of people who do this. So this is Jesus' second condemnation of the Jewish leaders of his day. We should be people trying to lead others towards Christ, not away from him. And hopefully that's you. And hopefully that's me. We should be people who are encouraging those who are open to entering in to believe in Jesus. May God help us do so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for spiritual leaders around the globe. Muslims, Catholics, Protestant, liberal Protestant, whom I forgot to mention, but they certainly need to be mentioned, liberal Protestant preachers who lead people away from Christ and try to undermine their faith in the Bible. Rabbis, imams, leaders of Eastern religions, whatever, college professors. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would take many of these folks and bring them to Christ, that they might repent of their evil ways, that they might repent of trying to lead people away from you, and that they might become just the opposite, people who try to lead others towards Christ. Lord Jesus, help us never be like these folks that Jesus is talking about here in the Bible. Help us to always be out there, ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, and to always be seeking to draw people to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Now you might say, wow, you know, you're really hard on the Jewish leaders today. Folks, that's what the chapter's about. I can't change the chapter. I'm sorry. We preach it the way it is, and this is what it says. So I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I'm just preaching the word, folks, the way it is. May God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon.